The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
If you're a fan of true romance or of rom-coms, you may buy into some of the beliefs and myths about love. For example, you'll only have one true soulmate in your life, or no matter what life throws at you, love conquers all, or passion inevitably fades with time. Are they facts or are they myths? Well, here to explore, Stephanie Regan, clinical psychotherapist and co-host of the Tough Love podcast. Stephanie, good morning.
Good morning to you, Pat.
So let's go through them. Never sleep on an argument.
Never sleep on an argument. I suppose my interest in just having a little peep at these is that, you know, they are myths, of course. Many of them are myths. There can be shreds of truth, and some of them are just proverbs, but they are passed down as though they are some kind of wisdom, you know, and I think it's often useful. They kind of take on this mythical quality then if everybody, you know, if your granny has said it and your mom has said it and, you know, they've been passed along. So for that reason, I think they're useful to unpack. Never sleep on an argument. I mean, that actually comes down and has a religious root to it, in that there is somewhere in the Bible it says, you know, do not let the sun go down in your anger. And so it is said to have come from that. But I mean, the truth is, the idea is that will arguments fester overnight? You know, will your anger fester overnight? But the reality is, we know that it's very good to cool down, you know, in an argument, to step away from it. And also that even the whole idea of nighttime, arguing something through in the nighttime rather than in the daytime, has quite a different quality to it. So I would definitely challenge that one and say, you know, do sleep on an argument. In fact, do step away from it. Do let yourself hold on to what is going on, process it, cool down, and come back to it in the cool light of day. So that's one I'd knock on the head.
Love is all you need, as the song goes.
Well, we all know that love is not all you need, but we like this myth that love is so pure, it's such a pure force, that it in some way can sort of overcome everything, that it can give you almost like a superpower to get through things. And the truth is, and while love is, I think, wonderful, and I'm not in any way knocking it or in any way minimizing it, but the truth is, in life you need, and in relationships you need, many other things for a relationship to, you know, to blossom and to grow. And I remember somebody said to me once, and I thought it was, at the time I didn't fully understand it, but she always said, you know, she always said to me, don't marry for love, but don't marry without it. You know, don't marry for money, but don't marry without it. You kind of don't, you need a piece of all of these things for a relationship to work. Mm-hmm. You need respect, you need fun, you need trust, you need commitment. So I think love is all you need, again, has it's kind of empty.
Yeah, and I mean, if someone, for example, is madly in love, they get married and then they fall on hard times and someone cannot provide for the family when that had been the expectation, that can undermine the love that was there.
Exactly. And the love can be pure, but I accept that. But it's really that in life, I find myself often with, you know, younger people saying to them, but you need many things for love as life goes on. And obviously, when you're older, you have that wisdom. But there, as you say, the love can't live on its own. In fact, you know, you're living within the whole societal structure. You have to have work, you have to have fun, you have to have friends, you've got to have the whole circle. And sometimes that's very hard to see when you're 19.
Now, he or she must love you because they're so protective of you.
Yes, I think that people often say that, you know, well, they're so into you because they're protective. And I know we've elaborated this quite a bit, even on your program there. And it is that that protectiveness can have a toxicity to it. And being overprotective is not really what you need for relationships to flourish, because, you know, that kind of extra protectiveness can be weak. First of all, it can weaken the other party, because we're supposed to be two people standing on our own and able to. And it can have roots in jealousy. And jealousy, as we know, you know, people can take it as some kind of sign of love, but it's not a sign of love, really. You know, it reflects much more a kind of an insecurity. And I think that, you know, the more lasting loves have to build on trust. They have to have space. They have to have air and space around them, each of the people within that relationship. Boundaries. They have to be able also to kind of foster and want to foster each other's independence. That's when really, I think for anybody, you know, like you or I who've been in relationships that last 30, 35 years, that it's about two people being able also to have very independent lives and independent joy. And then together you produce, and and have something more special. Something more strong.
Another one, there's only one soulmate for everyone, Kathy and Heathcliff, Elizabeth and Mr. Darcy.
Indeed. And, well, we love that because it makes for great drama, without a doubt. But the truth is that, although that looks lovely and sounds lovely, the truth is people really, it's more about people's capacity to build love that determines how many, you know, people they can love. Some people really can only love one person and they don't, and they're very lucky if they find that person. But really, love is much more about what is built as much as the sort of the haphazardness of finding this one person in the middle of a crowd. It's really that you see something in someone that you are, that is strong enough to make you want to build something more with that person. But I have noticed it very much with people who've had very good relationships and that relationship ends maybe through an accident or death or whatever. Those people tend to build another very good relationship. They don't tend to be the person who never finds love again. So it feeds into this, that it's not about soulmate, and that may have been a wonderful soulmate that they were, you know, that they may be grieving from. But in fact, they have the tools and the ability and the emotional capacity to love and build love again. And to, they have the skills of, if you like, relationship, lots of good communication and all of those things.
Now, I mentioned two classics, Wuthering Heights and Pride and Prejudice, and they really belie the idea of the next myth, which is that a great love is effortless.
Well, everyone who's had a great love, I think, knows that it's definitely not effortless. And you're right, of course. I mean, these things are, and the point is about these problems, you know, they're through all our stories. They're through the things that we have been told. They're laced into our art, and they're laced into the kind of cultural feed that we have. And I think that's why it's important to kind of shake them out here and there and modernize a little bit. And I mean, great love is not effortless, but I tell you what I do think. I think that some of people who have the great love, they do, of course, have the passion and connection. I mean, there has to be chemistry and connection in great love. But I think that what happens is that those who have wonderful love over many, many years, they actually do nurture it in the correct way, but they're doing it maybe in an effortless way. In other words, being together all the time, having fun together all of the time, being able to communicate and repair from argument, it happens more easily for some people than others. And that's where the great love, I think, really jumps. You know, that's where it really sort of flourishes.
And finally, passion inevitably fades. And that would seem to be logical, you know, that the high testosterone of the male and the anxiety maybe to have a family in the female combine to create great passions in youth, which inevitably fade.
And great passion is also, of course, it's youth. It's, of course, it's hormones. Of course, it's early love. And everything is new. Everything is fresh. Everything is discoverable. Everything is, you know, we're in this massive sort of curious arc with each other. But the truth is, it's more about novelty, because this is what has been shown, that the whole dopamine effect, the oxytocin effects, these are more about newness and freshness. So it's not that everything has to fade, but it does have to have constant, if you like, injections of freshness, newness, and some elements, I suppose, of surprise. And that is that we remain doing new things, you know, going to new places, having new experiences together. And I think as time goes on, that's something that requires quite an amount of sort of interest and effort from couples. So in that sense, passion, the instantaneous passion fades, I think, but passion itself doesn't have to fade.
Stephanie Regan, clinical psychotherapist, co-host of the Tough Love podcast. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.